Welcome to the Christian Emergency Podcast, a podcast for Christians spooked by the growing hostility in the culture today. We will tackle a range of topics from current events, persecution, missions, and what it means to be the church. You will gain valuable insights from those experienced working with persecuted Christians around the world, insights we all need to chew on in these strange days. Together, may we help the church stand. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Christian Emergency Podcast. I'm Andy, your host, and today we are going to be looking at a pretty serious series of events involving persecution of tribal Christians in India. Many people might be surprised that there are persecution events, even large-scale persecution events in India, but it's true. There have been weeks of attacks by large mobs in eastern India, in a specific region called Manipur. And this has been going on, and a lot of damage has been inflicted. A lot of people have been murdered. Many churches have been torched. It hasn't gotten tremendous coverage in any media or press, but this is going on. And what I'm going to do is, ideally, we love to have guests on to discuss this, and we do have partners that are in this area that are experiencing this firsthand, and our hearts and prayers just go out to them, but obviously for security reasons, that can't be aired. We can't be talking to them or anything like that. So what we are going to do is on May 13th, we're recording this on May 24th, so several days ago, we put up a blog post summarizing some of the attacks at that point, and we're just going to go through that blog post. You can find that on the Christian Emergency Alliance website. There's a little link at the top called blog. If you click on that, you will find this article, but we'll just walk through it, and I'll add updates and some other tidbits as we go through. There's a lot of content here as far as media. There's video, and there's some pretty sobering photos as well. Not for the faint of heart, but this is what's reality. This is what's going on with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Manipur. And we as Christians around the world need to be praying for them and aware of their circumstances, aware of what's going on, and interceding on their behalf and helping if God so leads. So I'm going to just start breaking down the facts, going through this blog post. And it was called, the blog post was Chaos, Tribal Christians Attacked in Manipur, India. 17 Christians in Manipur killed, over 100 Christians injured, 27 churches torched, multiple Christian villages destroyed, thousands displaced or in hiding. This was the initial emergency alert received by the Christian Emergency Alliance on May 5th, 2023. It only got worse since then. Hindu mobs were killing, burning, and kidnapping their way through the countryside. One of the CEA's trusted ministry partners in the region relayed the distressing news, while trying to get updates themselves from village pastors on the run. Their own relatives had been kidnapped by attackers, though later some were freed. And this was a very fluid set of circumstances. Our ministry partners were suffering so much and just trying to get updates on their own family members. It was really a frenzied time. And this really, we started getting these updates in the first week of May. And it was just truly chaos, which is why we got the title for this article. Let me proceed with the post. Chaos had come for the tribal Christians of Manipur. This remote region sits in the far east of India, east even of Bangladesh. Manipur neighbors Burma, where other tribal Christians face their own forms of violent persecution. Christians around the world typically know little about this region. Given the assaults against our brothers and sisters in Christ there, we must level up our awareness and pray accordingly. And here on the blog post, you do see a map representing where this is all happening. It is remote. It is obscure as far as the mental awareness of many people. It's just not a place that many people visit or hear about. The attacks against the Christian community has been described as systematic and well-planned. The attackers knew where to hit and executed swiftly. Hindu mobs also sought targets of opportunity. As one Christian tribal leader shared with the media, quote, "A mother and son were on their way to a camp. On their way, a mob encountered them and beat the son to death. The mother was trying to protect the son. She was killed too," end quote. These are real people, our real spiritual family. And there's some photos here, like I said. There's some photos of people crowded into some emergency shelters that was provided by the Indian Army. We're grateful for them. But there's also photos of some casualties and a torched husk of a church. The damage. The violence has not ended since the initial alert. The worst seems to have passed in the larger cities, though the villages are still scenes of rampage. The number of churches damaged or destroyed is staggering. Current reports list 123 specific churches. The list can be viewed below. And below, there's four pages of itemized lists of churches, very specific, given their locations and what occurred to them. Some of them were torched and destroyed. Others were just damaged. But it's all listed out there. And again, this was recorded on May 13th. That information was provided before May 13th. And I know that we are recording on May 24th right now. And I was even seeing footage of churches being set alight by Hindu mobs yesterday on the 23rd. So the attacks have flared up in some regions, and it's not ended. Unbelievably, it's not ended, and it's still going on. All right, I'll continue. Over 50 people have been murdered, most if not all Christians. Hundreds of tribal Christians have been injured or hospitalized. Most of the patients arriving at hospitals have severe bullet injuries. Others have grievous head wounds after being hit with large sticks. The death toll will almost certainly increase, and I'm sure it has since this was reported. Many of the Christians who have lost everything are also suffering from serious medical conditions and no longer have their medicine. Over 22,000 tribal Christians have lost their homes and been displaced. I mean, think about that. 22,000 tribal Christians, 22,000 people in a handful of days have had their homes torched or they've been forced out by violence. Some have found shelter at nearby military bases. Again, the Indian Army did come in and rescue some of these communities, did provide emergency shelter on some of the garrisons. So that was a huge help. Others have been forced to hide in the jungle. Starvation, disease, and exposure are real threats. And here there's a video on the blog that's pretty intense, showing some of the attacks going on. And here we have a section called The Pretext. Some observers insist this violence against the Christians does not constitute religious persecution, but rather a dispute among tribes. This is true in part. Then again, the best lies are partial truths. There has been a dispute between the Kuki and Maitai ethnic groups. I'm not exactly sure I'm pronouncing Maitai right, but it's M-E-I-T-I-T-E-I. The Kukis are predominantly Christian, while the Maitais are predominantly Hindu and constitute a majority in Manipur. Tensions broke out into skirmishes after thousands of tribal people participated in a rally by the All-Tribal Student Union of Manipur. The rally was against the potential inclusion of the majority Maitais. The Maitais sought to be recognized as one of India's, quote, scheduled tribes, end quote, which would grant them specific rights and benefits reserved for the country's most disadvantaged groups. The rally opposing their efforts ignited the Maitai fury. And there's another photo here of a very large church going up in flames.
We will return to the podcast momentarily, but first, a word from our sponsor. Being a Christian today can be hard. This is true if you live in a heavily persecuted country like Iran, or areas where cultural pressures against Christians are growing fast, like America and Europe. Fortunately, none of us have to stand alone. We are part of a giant body, one huge spiritual family that spans the globe. That is the church. The Christian Emergency Alliance is committed to helping the church stand, regardless of the pressures to come. As a 501c3 nonprofit, the Christian Emergency Alliance strives to help our spiritual family when persecution hits. We also strengthen the church by supporting ministry that makes Christ famous, defends biblical truth, and prepares fellow believers for challenges ahead. You have the opportunity to make a huge impact in this work today. Become a monthly financial ally of the Christian Emergency Alliance by signing up at christianemergency.com. Your support of $25 a month or a gift in any amount will bless those who need help in these darkening days. Help the church stand today, tomorrow, and in the days to come. Register today at www.christianemergency.com. And now, back to the show.
The reality. The dispute between ethnic groups certainly triggered the violence, but the resulting chaos constituted religious persecution. The Hindu mobs were well-organized, well-connected, and lethal. India has witnessed a sharp increase in attacks on Christians and churches since the ruling Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party, BJP, again, I may have butchered that pronunciation, came to power in 2014. The attacks on Christians, who comprise about 2% of India's 1.3 billion people, have been fueled by an apparent coordination between BJP actors and Hindu vigilante groups. The objective of these attacks is to consolidate Hindu control, resulting in a pure Hindu state. Hindu nationalism in India is normalizing violence against Christians, taking advantage of the weak and vulnerable. The attacks on Christians in Manipur bear these same hallmarks. Internet and phone lines were shut down, but only in Christian districts. As a result, tribal Christians were silenced, while the attacking Maitais were free to post, share, and shape the narrative. If one group is allowed to talk and the other is censored, thoughtful people should ask why. And there's another grim and sad photo following that text right there of some people who fell victim to these mobs. As a result of their free reign online, local Christians insisted that Hindu activists were spreading false reports online, reports they could not effectively counter since they had no digital access of their own. The CEA had no way of verifying these claims. That is, until the CEA's own materials were lifted by Hindu activists and deceptively posted. For example, the CEA posted video on Twitter and Facebook showing displaced tribal Christians hiding in the jungle. A tired but resilient pastor clutching a Bible can be seen speaking words of comfort to stunned families sitting around him. Amazingly, Hindu activists shared this video after they lifted it themselves, claiming that the footage actually showed displaced Hindu families hiding in the jungle. CEA's partners personally knew the people shown in that video. They are part of the same church family. This lie was egregious. It was intentional, but that did not stop them. So that was our own firsthand account of this coordinated, deceptive online campaign to really warp and deceive the narrative. The CEA also received reports that Hindu radicals were coordinating with local police. This coordination provided them access to weapons, firepower, and equipment, all used to attack the tribal Christians. According to some claims, local law enforcement would remove their uniforms, participate with the Hindu mobs, then don the uniforms on again and blend back into their official capacities. Local news organizations also described law enforcement escorting Hindu mobs to their targets. And again, under this bit of text, as we scroll down through the blog post, you will see a 12-second video of armed vigilante mobs moving forward to attack their victims. We do want to point out that not all government action was nefarious. We learned that some Indian Army units rescued many tribal Christians and provided them with emergency shelter. We are profoundly grateful for their help. And that's what I referenced a little bit a few minutes ago. But we need some clarity about Christian persecution. This tragedy represents a teaching moment for Christians. It is a case study from which we can all learn. Sometimes we hear an alarming account of Christian persecution. We are rightly grieved. But then we hear from others who suggest that persecution wasn't really involved. When Christians hear this, they become confused and they become quiet. They're not sure what to believe. This claim will be made by the persecutors involved, but can also be made by thoughtful Christians themselves who are trying to sift through the evidence. They state that it is only a cause of apparent persecution. Maybe the attack is more of a political issue, or maybe, like in this case, it's dismissed as an ethnic dispute, just a contest between rivals. Admittedly, this can be true. Sometimes people are harmed, but their identity as Christians played no role in the harm whatsoever. Sometimes that does, in fact, happen. We know that happens. But if people are targeted because of their Christian identity, that should trigger suspicion that Christian persecution is at play. Christian persecution falls along a spectrum. The clearest cases are those where a person is harmed because of their active ministry advancing the gospel. So the clearest cases of religious Christian persecution are those that are out there sharing the gospel. Maybe they're conducting evangelism in a village and they are set upon an attack because of their witness. Those are the clearest cases. But further down the spectrum are attacks on people known to be Christians, but may not be actively involved in ministry when they are harmed. If a radical activist opposed to Christianity hurls a bomb into a majority Christian neighborhood, those harmed are not engaged in ministry at the time. Nevertheless, the attacks still represent a form of Christian persecution. It would be absurd to suggest otherwise. I remember when the All Saints Church was bombed by twin suicide bombers in Peshawar, Pakistan. Those were people leaving a church service. They weren't advancing, you know, evangelism or anything like that, but they were just attacked as a group. That was obviously Christian persecution. The ongoing attacks against tribal Christians in Manipur, India, resemble this class of Christian persecution. A vulnerable Christian minority being savaged by a stronger, larger majority, bent on advancing the majority's own religious claims, that is Christian persecution. These cannot be merely dismissed as criminal activities or political violence. If that were the case, the widespread attacks against Christians in northern Nigeria, the Middle East, or India would all be relegated to non-persecution status. That would be absurd. Christians must recognize a spiritual dynamic at play in these attacks. We must also appreciate that most attacks can be described in political or social terms. All state action against Christians in communist countries could be characterized as legal matters. Does that mean the hostility cannot be labeled as Christian persecution? Absolutely not. It is Christian persecution. So much of the cases that were brought against Christians who were detained, imprisoned, sometimes for years, tortured and killed in places like the Soviet Union, the communist bloc, a communist China, those were all on trumped up charges. They could always point to political or social activities as a pretext for what they were doing, but they were targeting Christians. That's what it was. We can see through the smokescreen that's always put up. There is always an excuse, even in America, even in the West. If Christians are running afoul of the law because of their ministry, oftentimes it's because those laws or regulations or the authorities themselves are hostile. They're designed to be hostile to the Christian faith, and they're implemented with success sometimes. But we don't just fall for the line that, oh, well, this is not persecution. It is. If laws are passed that criminalize evangelistic speech and evangelists are in turn arrested, is that merely a legal issue? Of course not. In the present case, the fact that churches in Manipur were intentionally torched only underscores the religious flavor infused in these attacks. Again, remember, this is over 100 churches that were set upon, and this is over 10 days old. This is stale information. It's much larger because we've seen the videos of more going up since then. If Christians will not stand up for Christians, who will? Of course, we still pray for the attackers and seek their salvation. We're also not naive. Sometimes these situations are complex, but we must prayerfully champion the welfare of Christians when they are vulnerable and when they are attacked. And under this bit of text, there's another video of Hindu vigilante militants hanging their flags from the cross atop a large church building. That's not great. The need. Christian persecution in India is real. Hindu radicals are carrying out these attacks to displace and intimidate tribal Christians. Little news can get out of the region. The enemy wants to conceal this violence in darkness. Praise God, he preserved us some access to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Manipur. They are neither alone nor forgotten, and they're truly not. If you're listening to this and this is brand new to you, I would encourage you to learn more about their plight. You can get onto the Christian Emergency Alliance's Facebook page or Twitter feed. Scroll and you'll find some of the material that we've been able to post, but they're not alone. We're a part of their spiritual family, and we need to intercede on their behalf. And I'll continue with the blog here. The Christian Emergency Alliance sprung into action immediately to meet emergency needs for the tribal Christians involved. We quickly delivered resources to help meet their critical needs, including food, clothing, and other humanitarian care. And I can say this, we've also learned that a number of the Christian materials used for discipleship, for evangelistic outreach in and among the other tribal groups, a lot of that was set upon and destroyed as well. So this is going to be a long-term problem that we're going to be dealing with as a church. but we are intent also on replacing many of those scriptures, those Bibles, and the resources that are used to bless people and allow them to hear the gospel. So we're going to be busy in that as well. Here on the blog, there is an encouraging video of a young boy. It's a 19-second video, but here it's described in the blog. One video the CEA shared was of a young Christian boy, one of many who had lost their homes. The famished child had not eaten for 3 days. Through the generous support of people like you listeners or our supporters, the CEA was able to provide funds for food, and this boy got to eat, and eat he did. So in the video, he's got a little rice dish, and the boy is very small. He's clearly malnourished. He's very, very hungry. And he gets the first taste, and he just starts packing it away. He starts just diving in. In fact, his mother, I believe, is having to refrain him and restrain him a little bit just so he doesn't just get sick and just ingest it too fast. So it's an endearing video, but it's also sad just to see the condition that this kid is in. Many Bibles and Christian materials, like I said, were also destroyed in the attacks, and the CEA will also work to replace those materials as well. If you, your family, or church would like to contribute to their needs, we would welcome your assistance. Together we could do much helping tribal Christians stand in Manipur. Prayer. Most importantly, we would ask you for your prayers. Pause right now and pray for your spiritual family in Manipur, India. And I'll encourage you, if you're listening to this on the highway, if you're listening to this at work, at school, on a walk, you can even hit pause right now or listen to the next few seconds where we list some specific prayer requests, but then hit pause and let's lift them up. Let's just not do hat tips to prayer suggestions. Let's really do it. These people really need help. They need to know the presence of the Lord, their caregiver, their support. They also need to have God just deliver and move in the midst of this evil and provide for their needs and take care of them and their loved ones and the church. So pray that those who lost loved ones will be comforted by the Spirit's peace, which defies understanding. Pray that the injured will recover, keeping their eyes on the Lord in the midst of their pain. Pray that the kidnapped will be comforted, protected, and returned to their families. Pray that the sick who lack their medications would find assistance. Pray that law and order would be restored and justice delivered. Pray that the homeless would find the shelter they need and those hiding in the jungle will find ways to survive. Pray that those who have been displaced from their villages will be able to get back, even as the majority militants are threatening to prevent them from returning. Pray that the attackers would realize their horrific sin, repent, and turn to Christ. Pray that God would redeem this darkness and use it to draw many in Manipur and across India to himself. Pray that resources and aid will continue to make it into the hands of our spiritual family who desperately need them. On behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves right now, we want to thank you for those prayers. The Christian Emergency Alliance is committed to standing alongside these believers amidst this dark season, and we appreciate all those who stand alongside us. But we just felt that this was important to share, to get this news out there. It's not really well known, but this is a massive, when you just hear those statistics, the most recent statistic I heard as of yesterday was reports that over 60,000 people now have been displaced, having lost their homes and been pushed out of their villages. It boggles my mind that something that giant can hit the church and barely a whisper goes out. So we're going to do our part. If you would be able to share this news with your small groups, with your churches, your Sunday schools, so that we can just expand the amount of prayer that goes out there, while we'd be very, very grateful. And on behalf of our partners in that area and the Christians of Manipur, we would just relay their gratitude as well. So for more information, you can go to our website at christianemergency.com. Like I said, our social media feeds. You can reach out to us if you have questions or thoughts. But thank you very much, and let's pray for the believers of Manipur and that light would penetrate this darkness. God bless all of you.
Thank you for joining us today for the Christian Emergency Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. Also, tell your friends about us and ask them to subscribe as well. To learn more about the Christian Emergency Alliance or financially invest in our ministry, visit us at www.christianemergency.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you again for listening, and stand strong out there.